done a few things before, but I'm sorry about that. So, you're welcome. Please look to your neighbor and say you're welcome. Ask them, how is the meeting so far? Ask them if you think it's, if they think it's weird that I didn't introduce the meeting before starting. imagine we just find out that this is not soteria, that this is something else and you've been in another meeting. Hallelujah. You know, we just say this is, the Holy Ghost, fire, thunder, coconut oil, mango juice, meeting. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm sorry about that. It skipped my mind. So you're welcome. So how many of us are blessed so far? Can I see your hands? Don't raise your hand, so that I'll be happy. You can say, I'm a good teacher. Tell me, have you been blessed so far? Okay. And we trust God that there will be more of that, you know, this afternoon into the evening and tomorrow and Sunday. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we'd like to look at a few things today. And if you've been attending Soteria for some time, you know that a few things are not a few things. Amen. You know, a few is relative. Amen. Well, depending on who is talking anyways. You know, few is relative. So, just want to look at God's word and, you know, start something this evening. And hopefully, we are able to finish when we are able to finish. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be scared. You don't worry. Don't be scared. It's fine. Okay, I trust you've eaten now. You have? Rested well? Okay. Psalm chapter 8. Psalm 8. Where are our Pauline brothers? Why am I picking on some people this throughout this meeting? Sorry, don't be angry, yeah? You hear? Oh, you say yes, sir. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. Okay, this is to the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. Sometimes we forget that this is part of the psalm too. We just go to verse 1. Amen. Okay, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Maybe you remember the song now. Do you remember a song? Lord, my God, excellent your name in all the earth. Hallelujah. Those of you who sang, yeah, God. You are Kana. Amen. Okay, it says, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. Now verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, some, I think KJV says sucklings, if I'm not wrong. It says, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Okay, verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Does this bring another song? Is there another song? Oh yeah, let's sing together. One, two, three. Yeah, those of you who know it. That's not the tune you use, no. Oh yeah, one, two, go. Oh Lord my God. When I was a boy, consider all, I was, that is, I've made, okay? I see, okay? Pause. How many of you have heard thunder before and said glory to God? How many of you are like that here? You've heard thunder before. Oh, glory, hallelujah, Father. Oh, you're great, hallelujah. You just worship your Father. After you hear thunder. Mean what you sing and sing what you mean. Hallelujah. Let's run away from that quickly. The sun and the stars which you have ordained. Now, verse 4. Let's read together. 4 and 5. 1, 2, go. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? because you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to observe something in verse 4. Okay? It says, what is man? Hallelujah. Now, the word what here is the word mao. M-A-H. Please write that down. Mao. M-A-H. Now, in the Hebrew, when you see A, in your mind automatically puts W at the back of the A. That's the way it's pronounced. Mao. Did you get that? Aha. So, mao. It is actually an interrogative term. Okay? It's an interrogative pronoun, which can mean what or how. Did you get that? Now, so when the psalmist, that is David, says what is man, we can say that David is making interrogations, right? Or inquiries or searchings by the Spirit of Christ. And these searchings will be what? Concerning salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's turn there quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1. This was last year's theme. How many of us remember that? How many of us were there? Okay, how many of us remember that? Glory is our follower, right? Now verse 10, it says, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Now verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. Okay? So we know from the epistles, particularly 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10, that something was going on in the Old Testament. Men by the Spirit of Christ were searching and making inquiries into salvation. Right? So when David says, what is man? We can call this a searching, right? Because it uses an interrogative term, a word that means what or how, depending on the context in which it's used. So we can say he's making searchings or inquiries into salvation. Did we get that? Did we get that? Okay. Now, what is man? Back to Psalm 8, now verse 1. What is man? Hallelujah. Now, the word man here is a unique word in the Hebrew. Because you note in the Hebrew, for those of us who are Hebrew scholars, I'm not. Now, why are you laughing? Amen, I'm not. So, you know, the word man. Now, there are several words in the Hebrew for man. We have Adam, okay? Adam is like the generic name for man. That's a general name. When we can say mankind, okay? That's Adam. And then we have Ish, I-S-H, which is male man, okay? The male gender. But interestingly, David doesn't use either of these words here. Please follow closely. It uses another word in the Hebrew, which is the word Enosh. That's Enosu. Amen. Enosh. E-N-O-S-H. Now, the word Enosh in the Hebrew emphasizes more on the mortality of man. Okay? The mortality of a man. Now, the word Enosh is derived from another Hebrew word, Anash. A-N-O-S-H. A-S-H, Anash. Now, Anash refers to a weak or desperately sick man. Are you following? Are we together? A weak or desperately sick man. That is, it refers to frailty or feebleness. The same word is used in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15, when it says, and it became healed. The word ill there, I-double-L, is the word Anash, sick. Amen. In Job chapter 34 verse 6, it's used there and translated as incurable. Okay, used for a disease. Incurable. Let's turn there. Job chapter 34 verse 6. Let's go there very quickly. We have a lot to look at today. Job chapter 34 verse 6. Are we there? It says, should I lie concerning my right? My wound is incurable. So my wound is anash. Did you get that? Though I am without transgression. Now, obviously, he's talking figuratively here. Because in the Hebrew, when you say wound, it's a word that it has a meaning that focuses more on judgment. Okay? So, when he says my wound here, it would refer to, is a word that has to do with, when you shoot an arrow at someone, arrow wounds. So it's now used figuratively like, God targeting a person. Okay? And shooting arrows at the person of judgment. Do you understand that? So, it's a word that means judgment. The way arrows are fired. Did you get that? It's used in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 23. The word is kaitz, C-H-E-T-S. Kaitz is the word used in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 23. Then it says, I will spend my arrows on them. So, referring to judgment. Amen? Job chapter 6, verse 4. It says, the arrow of the Almighty, or the arrows of the Almighty, referring to judgment. So now, back to Job chapter 34, verse 6. Now, obviously, we know that Job is being self-righteous in what he's saying. How many of you have read the book of Job before? Or is Galatians that you like very well? Amen. Who is it I'm picking on today? This is by the Holy Ghost. There's somebody here. Who are you? Amen. That was a joke. So, you know, he's being self-righteous, but there's just something we can learn from what he says. He links judgment or his wounds to sin. Do you see that? He says, my wounds are plenty my wound is incurable, pardon me, though I am without transgression. So from what he says, it makes it seem like those who we find wounds with, and obviously wounds is figurative for judgment, right? So those we find these wounds with are with transgression. Just follow, closely. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 9. Hallelujah. It says, the heart of man, another famous verse, Habib. The heart of man is desperately, where am I again? I just lost this. Oh, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Hallelujah. Who can know it? So the word desperately wicked is that same word, anash. Okay? The original Hebrew actually reads, the heart and desperately sick. Okay? That's the word anash used there. So far we've seen that man is, or some type of man, let me not be general now, or same man, is depicted as being sick. Have you seen that so far? Come on. Have you seen that so far? Man is seen, is depicted as being sick or being injured, being wounded, right? Right. Men and brethren, are we together? Now, the next reason, the next question we would ask is, why is man sick? Is it malaria? Or HIV? Amen. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 12. Please follow very closely and very fastly. Is there a word like fastly? I'm not sure. Okay. Verse 12. I'm not sure. Amen. For thus says the Lord, your affliction is incurable. Hey. If God should say this to you, your affliction is incurable. Amen. Your wound is severe. There is no one to plead your cause, that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. Verse 14. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your transgressions. Do you see that? Because your sins have increased. Why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities. Do you see that again? Because your sins have increased, I have done these things to you. So, Jeremiah tells us that man is sick, and the reason we find this sickness in man is sin. Just follow closely. Micah chapter 1, verse 2. Micah chapter 1, verse 2. Are we there? It says, hear all peoples, listen, O earth, and all that is in it. Let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord, from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. Now verse 5. All this is for the transgression of Jacob. Do you see that again? And for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field, places for planting a vineyard. I will pour down her stones into the valley, and I will uncover her foundations. All her carved images shall be beaten to pieces, and all our pay as harlot shall be burned with the fire. All our idols I will lay desolate, for she gathered it from the pay of the harlot, and they shall return to the pay of the harlot. Now verse 8, therefore I will wail and all, and I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like a like the jackals, and a mourning like the ostriches. Now verse 9. For our wounds are incurable, for it has come to Judah, it has come to the gate of my people, to Jerusalem. So obviously, by pointing to sin as or transgression as the cause of this sickness in man, it obviously lets you know that the sickness being referred to is not physical. Right? It would refer to a spiritual reality. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So, David now uses Enosh to qualify man. Okay? In Psalm 8 verse 4. That is, sickly man. Okay? Diseased man, weakened man, and remember, what weakens man, what makes him diseased, which is a spiritual reality like we've seen, is sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, interestingly, the word Enosh is the same word that was given to Seth's son. Do you remember that? In Genesis chapter 4 verse 26. Now, Seth's son was called Enosh because when the boy was born, he was very sickly and weak. So when the people saw him, they got scared and said, human being can die. That's basically what happened. They saw him and they realized that we are not immortal. We can die. Because they saw that some people said I had breathing problems. We don't know. We're not there. So let's leave that. But when they saw him, they knew that human beings can die. And then they started calling on the name of the Lord. Did you get that? Did you get that? Are we together? So the sight of this child, this sick child, scared everybody. Made everyone scared and started calling on the Lord. So back to Psalm 8 now, verse 4. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4. Hallelujah. Now, so what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Now, although man or David calls man sick, right? He calls him frail, he calls him diseased. He cannot now wrap his head again around one fact. He's still confused. Now, what is he confused about? He says that you are mindful of him. Hallelujah. Are we together? That you are mindful of him. Now, it's key to note, okay, that what David said is not the revelation of the Spirit. In the sense that what he said was not God's verdict of man. David looked at man, and what David saw was man sick with sin. Okay? It wasn't God that said that. Hallelujah. Are we together? Please just follow. It was not God that said that. So, although man can look at himself and call himself a sort of rubbish, call himself Enosh. Amen? God is seeing differently. Did you get that? God is seeing something different. Are we together? Please follow closely. Now, the same word Enosh is used in Job chapter, that can't be John. John is New Testament. Job chapter 7, verse 17. Job chapter 7, verse 17. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says, what is man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him? So these writers, both Job and David, are wondering, or they are concerned. Amen. They are concerned about God's obsession with man. They observed man, and they observed God's love for man, and to them, it does not correlate. Do you understand what I just said? They look at what man is, and they look at how God looks at man, and they said, it does not correlate. Just follow, please, I beg you. Now, when Job says that God sets his heart on man, now, in the Hebrew, this is a statement of affection. That is, man is the constant object of God's attention. That's the word in the Hebrew. When I say, I am obsessed with you, that is the word in the Hebrew. An obsession. Why is your heart set on him? Hallelujah. Praise God. Then he says, that you should exalt him. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the word exalt in the Hebrew is the word Gadal or Gaudal. G-A-D-A-L. Gadal. It means to become great or strong, to magnify. Hallelujah. So God's attention is always focused on man, thinking about how we can magnify him. Amen. So when man is looking at himself and seeing rubbish, God's attention is somewhere else. Do you get what I just said? Now, back to Psalm 8 now. We'll be opening scriptures a lot, so please, just bear with us. No, you should not bear, you should want to open. Amen. Psalm 8 verse 4. Hallelujah. He says, what is man that you are mindful of him? The word mindful in the Hebrew is the word zakar. Z-A-K-A-R. Zakar. Is a word that was originally used in the Hebrew for a monument. When you make a statue, for example, Obafemi Awolowo's statue, you know what people can look at to remember. Do you understand? A monument. It was originally used for that. So here, it refers to, or it means to remember with kindness. To remember with kindness. So what is man that you remember him with kindness? Same word was used in Genesis chapter 30 verse 22, 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11, then verse 19 to 20, then Genesis chapter 8 verse 1. So David is asking, what is this sinful man, amen, that you keep remembering him with kindness? Now remember that whenever you see scripture or you see words in scripture, you let the context tell you what it is saying. Do you remember that? Now, in reading Bible, there are two ways you can read any material. Not just Bible. There are two ways you can read any material. There is exegesis, right? And then there's eisegesis. Exegesis is when you allow, from X, from, to let the text tell you what it is saying. Amen? So you don't, if the text says bread, you don't assume and say, oh, bread. Agege bread. Amen. You let the text tell you what bread is or what it means by bread. Hallelujah. If a text says tower, you don't say tower. Okay, cocoa house. Amen. You let the text tell you what it's saying. But for exegesis, you are allowed to read your meaning into what you are reading. So if you say, if you see bread in the text, you can say, okay, bread. The normal meaning you know it to be. But for exegesis, you let the text tell you what it's saying. When it comes to Bible, it's exegesis. Amen? You are not allowed to impute your own thoughts and ideologies into what the text is saying. Let the text talk to you. Did you get that? So, if you see bread in Bible, you have to find out what the bread is. Amen? If you see water, you have to find out what water is in the Bible. You don't say water. Oh, okay, water. Pure water. No. Amen? And Peter says, you are washed with pure water. A Nigerian will find that very, very difficult to understand because in his mind, he's seeing such it. Amen? So you let the text talk to you. Hallelujah. Are we together? So, what is this kindness? In context, you will know. It's in the same chapter. It says, and the son of man that you visit him. Now, interestingly, David now uses a different word for man here. You know, earlier he had used Enosh. Now, he uses Adam. Okay? So what is the offspring of Adam? Now remember I said Adam is the collective word for man in the Hebrew. So Adam, David does something. He groups all men together. That is humanity. That's why he uses the singular pronoun him. Did you get that? So what is the offspring of man or Adam that you visit him? Now, you visit him is just one word in the Hebrew. It's a long phrase, but it's just one word in the Hebrew. It's the word paukad. P-A-Q-A-D. Paukad. P-A-Q-A-D. It actually means to visit graciously. Okay? That is, you come from where you are to where the other person is to bestow something on them. Did you get that? The same word is used in Genesis chapter 21 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 50 verse 24. So, David lets you know that God is visiting man. Okay? And why he's visiting man is because he wants to bestow kindness on him. Just follow, please. Now, how? The next question. Verse 5 tells us, it says, for you made him a little lower than the angels. Now, for you made him a little lower than the angels. That long phrase is just one word in the Hebrew. interestingly, is the word Kawsari. C-H-A-S-E-R. Kawsari. C-H-A-S-E-R. It means to decrease. Okay? To cause someone to be lacking or to be in need of something. Did you get that? To decrease. To cause someone to be lacking or to be in need of something. To strip off or diminish. To make inferior. It's the same word that was used in Genesis chapter 8 verse 3. When he talked about the floods of Noah. And he says that the flood decreased. The word decreased there is kausare. Amen? Did you get that? So the word actually has to do with depriving. Okay? To deprive oneself of benefits. Hallelujah. Now, the way the word is in the Hebrew, now I have a few things here, but because I don't want to confuse you with all of this, I'll just skip it and, you know, go to all of that. The way the word appears in the Hebrew, you know Kai? You know Kai, no?
Everybody should know Kai.
Amen. K-I, the Kai rule, where and is used for that is, like you are trying, you're further explaining. That's the same way it was used here. Do you understand? In the Hebrew. Now, I will not give you all of the something so that because of, I don't, but do you understand that? Is anyone who understands Kai? So that it will be an hermeneutic I can use to explain what I'm saying. But if you don't understand, I might have to now start explaining. When, in the Hebrew, when you see the word and, A-N-D, doesn't always mean and, this. It can mean, this, that is this, or further explaining previously stated. So it's used the same way here. So, it says, you have made him a little lower than the angels. Now, it now sounds this way in the Hebrew. That, how do I say this now? Okay. That, okay, him being made lower than the angels, okay, is because of what he has said earlier. That, what is the son of man that you visit him? Do you understand? So, he is being made lower than the angels because God is visiting him. Something like that. In the Hebrew. Amen? Did you get that? It sounds something like that in the Hebrew. Now, the epistles help us to shed more light on this text. Because obviously, it does not make sense. It says, what is man that you visit him? And then it says, you have made him a little lower than the angels. So, is it that he's making him a little lower to visit him? You see, it doesn't make sense. Now, the epistles now explain it to us. Turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Now, the writer of Hebrews talks about Jesus and he says, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, we do not yet see all things put under him. Verse 9, can we read together? But we see Jesus, for the suffering of death, crowned with what? Glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, may taste death for everyone. So, when David talks about God making man a little bit lower than the angels, the epistles explain it that he was actually referring to Jesus. Do you see that? It was referring to Jesus. That is, Jesus, who is God, will now become flesh or become man so that he might taste death for everyone. Hallelujah. Now, obviously, this speaks concerning the incarnation of Jesus, right? So, can we say that Psalm 8 verse 4 is talking about Jesus' incarnation? Hey, can we say that? Okay. So, God became man to save man from Enosh. Did you get that? From that sickness of sin. Hallelujah. That is the man that was made a little lower than the angels. Exactly. Okay. Please just follow. So we can say that Psalm 8 verse 4 is prophecy concerning Christ Jesus. Okay? Remember the word kausare we saw earlier on, deprived, right? That is, when he became a man, he deprived himself of his deity. Do you get that? He had to start living like a man. God that does not eat. Amen? There's a song that comes to mind. Opero jere. Opero jere. Oh, Jeba. Eh? For those of you who are not Yoruba speaking, I'm sorry. I'm not Yoruba speaking too, but they've infected me. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, he said God does not eat, but he eats praise. Okay? There's another funny one again. I hate that one so much. Mama Baba, so dear, he has done too much. We cannot pay him, but we can dance more and pay him with it. We will use our dancing. We will shake body and pay him small. He died, he was buried, he was raised, then you use your dancing to pay him back. Now, God, now God, I groan in the spirit. Now, God does not eat. Amen. But he became a man and he started eating. Ah. God that, you know, God does not need to go to Lagos before he knows what, why am I using it? God does not need to go to Nasarawa before he knows what is going on there. But now, Jesus had to go on a boat to where he was going to before he could be there physically. Do you understand that? Sometimes he had to be told things before he would know what was happening. You know that he slept. Amen. From one time, he even slept so much that the car almost had accident and he was either God though. And the Bible says that the keeper of Israel neither sleeps nor slumber. He slept, he slumbered. Amen. Hallelujah. It's deep sleep, not just sleep, but he slumbered. Amen. That they say, do you want us to die? The disciples were, wake up. Amen. So he slept. Hallelujah. God became a man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, look at John chapter 1. Just buttressing on what I just said. He was a man. He was not a godly man or a godly man or a deity man. He was man. Amen. He says, John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Now, verse 14, and that lets you know, he says, the Word which was God, right? He says, became flesh. Do you see that? And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now, did not consider it robbery is just one word in the Hebrew. In the Greek, pardon me. It's the word harpagmos. H-A-R-P-A-G-M-O-S. Harpagmos. It means to seize or hold on to something, to hold fast to, or to retain. To seize or hold on to something, to hold fast to, or to retain. So we can better read it this way. If I was to translate it, I would put, he did not retain on to his deity. Do you get that? Or he did not hold on to his deity. Because Jesus was actually God that became a man. Do you understand that? But as man, he let go of the privileges of being God. That's what Paul is saying here. Amen? So when Jesus Christ is called the Son of God, it's very important you understand exactly what you are saying. Okay? Some believers are asked, how is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Did God have a wife? And they don't know what to say. Son of God in scriptures is a term, it's a redemptive terminology to speak of incarnation. Amen? That is, we can say Son of God is equals to God became a man. Not that God had a wife and, you know, and he was born. No. But God became a man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So, God became a man. Hallelujah. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. Now, no reputation is just one word as well in the Greek. It's the word kinoho. Something like that. Sounds something like that. Kinoho. K-E-N-O-O. Kinoho. It's a word that means to empty oneself. To empty oneself. Now, in the context of Philippians chapter 2, this emptying is referring to what? His deity. Do you remember? I hope you are following. Because God now had to become fully man, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Amen. Now he says, taking the form of a bond servant. The word bond servant in the Greek is the word doulos. D-O-U-L-O-S. Not D-O-L-O. Not D-O-L-O. Doulos. Amen. D-O-U-L-O-S. It's a word that means a slave. Amen. A slave. One whose rights are taken away. But you observe that in Jesus' case, it was active on his part. So it's not that his rights were taken away. He was the one who took. Amen? Do you get that? So he laid aside his rights and privileges as God to become a man. They were not taken away from him. Do you understand? He took the form of a born servant. He was the one who performed the action on himself. Do you get that? Are we together? So he gave up his deity. Hallelujah. Praise God. And submitted to the prophecies of the scriptures for salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. He gave up his deity. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just to save man from sin. Amen. Amen. And he says, and coming in the likeness of men. Likeness. This is a word that must not be said, but just spelt. H-O-M-O-I-O-M-A. Omoioma. Something like that. H-O-M-O-I-O-M-A. It refers to a similitude. A similitude or resemblance. It's the same word that was used for Jesus in Romans chapter 8 verse 3 when he says that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Okay? Likeness there is the same word here. Omoioma. That is the similitude or the resemblance. He put aside his godness, if you allow me to say that, and he became fully flesh. He became exactly like Enosh. Are you following? Are we together? Now, when that happens, see what verse 8 and 9 tells us. He says, I'm being found in appearance as a man. Now, being found is just one word in the Greek. It's the word eurisko. H-E-U-R-I-S-K-O. Eurisko. It means to discover. Especially after searching or examination. So the word here is passive, right? Being found. That is, when men saw the way he was acting, they knew this one was a man. Do you get that? The way he lived was a man. Hallelujah. He lived like a man. You know, Jesus Christ will not eat. And when he wants to eat, he will just do like this. The food will just rise up in the air and come pew. Hallelujah. He doesn't even need to use the toilet. When he wants to use the toilet, he does just like this. Angels, I call for you now. So the angels just take the whatever and, you know, they dump it on somebody's face. Amen. Maybe dump it on Judas's face or something. Why should it be Judas? Okay, let's move on. So, hallelujah. When men saw him, okay, he was discovered as a man. Hallelujah. When men observed the way he operated, the way his body system worked, the way he acted, he got tired, he got sleepy. Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ should touch knife, it will cut his hand. Blood will come out. Amen. Not that, okay, when he touches the knife, the thing will just come to water. No. Amen. Are we following? So when men examined him, they knew that this one was a man. Hallelujah. Praise God. A man. The word appearance in verse 8 is the word schema. S-C-H-E-M-A. It refers to exterior shape. That is, it's referring to Jesus' earthly body. That is, everything in his earthly body, the way it walked, okay, was like a man. He could eat, he could sleep, he could cry, he could be hungry, he could use the toilet. But the only difference between Jesus, now, he became exactly like man, but the only difference between he and other men around him was that he was sinless. He was the only man who was not, he was in the form of Enosh, but he was not Enosh. Did you get that? He was not sinful. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 tells us that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he knew no sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah said the same thing in Isaiah verse, you see that in verse 3 down to 7, he says that there was no bile found in his mouth. He did not revenge even when he was oppressed. Okay? So there was no sin found in Jesus. Now, this incarnation is God visiting man. God, who is a spirit, now becomes lower than the angels. Do you understand that? Now, how is he lower than the angels? In form. Hallelujah. Referring to his incarnation. Amen. So, this and the, David in Psalm 8 now lets us know that this incarnation is God visiting man. Okay? God visiting man graciously. So when you look at the incarnation of Jesus, you should not just see that God became a man. You should also see the love of God in full display. Okay? Because what he did was for us. Right? For man. Hallelujah. That's why David now says, what is this man? That God Almighty will now become a man. Ha! Something that has never, that's why Jesus Christ is called the only begotten. It's the word monogenes in the Greek, which means unique. This has never happened before. That is, before Jesus Christ came as in flesh, it has never happened before that God was seen in man, as a man. Do you understand that? So, Jesus' incarnation, or the incarnation of Jesus, is God becoming a man for man. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, we have to look at this man, don't you think so? Amen. We have to look at this man. If God had to go through all of this, just for this man, we have to look at him. So, let's look at a few things. Let's just look around a few things before we go for today. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Hallelujah. It says, now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that daughters were born to them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wife for themselves of whom they chose. Now verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, if we check the Hebrew, the word strive here is not strive. Amen. Like man and God are fighting with themselves. So God now says, okay, I give up. I will not fight with man again. Okay? It's the word abide. It's the word abide. Abide in or to dwell. Okay? So we can read it this way. My spirit will not abide in man forever. Abi? Do you agree? Can we move? Can we move? Can we move? My spirit shall not abide in man forever. Abi, can we move? Hey, men, can we move? Or we will not agree. That's how you know you have word men in your congregation. Hallelujah. Now, the next question will be why? Abi? Now, it lets you know. It says, for he is indeed flesh. Hallelujah. Now, the word flesh in the Hebrew is the word basar. B-A-S-A-R. Bausar is a word that is used to qualify frailty. Frailty, that is man in his own strength without God. Did you get that? Frailty, man in his own strength without God. See Psalm 56. Psalm 56 is used there in the same context, verse 4. Psalm 56 verse 4. Hallelujah. It says, all day they twist my words, and their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps, when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Hold on. Okay, verse 9. When I cry out to you, then my enemies return back. That this I know, because God is for me. Then I think I mixed something up here. Sorry. I meant Psalm 78. Sorry about that. Psalm 78. I mixed something up there. Psalm 78 verse 35. Hallelujah. Are we there? It says, then they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered me with their mouth, and they lied to me with their tongue. Verse 37. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. Verse 38. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. Verse 39. For he remembered that they were but flesh. That's the word there. A breath that passes away and does not come again. Now I want you to observe verse 39. Flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Now the word breath in the Hebrew is the word ruach, which is, you know, it refers to spirit. Now, when you see spirit in the Hebrew, don't always think that it's always referring to the spirit of God. I think we are more intelligent than that. Every time spirit is used in the Bible, it's not referring to the Holy Ghost. I hope you know that. Now, the word here, the way it's used here, is used for what we can call a life force. If you let me use that term. A life force. What makes somebody to come alive? Amen? So, the word spirit is used here for a life force. Okay? So, when it says a breath that passes away, it refers to that very life of man. Are we together? It says, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Amen? Now, let me say this, that man was created to be preserved by God. Man was created to be preserved by God. He was created to draw his sustenance from God. Look at Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10 verse 12. Are we there? Job chapter 10 verse 12. He says, you have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. Now, the word your care is just one word in the Hebrew, or the phrase, pardon me, your care, is just one word in the Hebrew. It's the word pek-do-dao, something like that, sir. Pek-od-kao. I'll give you the spelling now. P-E-Q-U-D-D-A-H. P-E-Q-U-D-D-A-H is derived from another Hebrew word, pakad, P-A-Q-A-D, which means visitation. Like when a chief official is looking, you know, inspecting a particular place, that's the word there, pakad. So, this word that I just said now, pek, do, dao, something like that, that's where it's pronounced. It means oversight or visitation. Oversight or visitation. Now here is used for a gracious oversight or visitation. That is, one that cares for and provides. One that cares for and provides. So, Job lets us know that it is God's care and providence that preserves man's spirit. Do you see that? The word preserved is from the Hebrew word shamar. S-H-A-M-A-R. S-H-A-M-A-R. It originally meant to stay up at night. It was used for a watchman, like a gateman. It actually means to keep or to protect. Did you get that? To keep or to protect. That is, God's care and providence is what keeps man. Are we together? So man being kept is dependent on what God does to him. Or for him. His safety is in God. Do you get that? His safety is in God. In Job chapter 12 verse 9. Job chapter 12 verse 9 to 10. He says, who among all these does know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? The way it sounds in the Hebrew, it sounds like, in whose hand or to whom belongs the spirit of every living thing? Do you get that? It sounds something like that. To whom belongs the spirit of all flesh? That is the owner of all flesh. Do you understand? Or the owner of the spirit of all flesh. So, God is described as the one who owns the life of man. Basically, he owns the life of man. Are we together? Are you following so far? He owns the life of man. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27, verse 15. Are we there? Numbers chapter 27, verse 15. It says, then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, do you see that again? Spirits there will refer to life of all flesh. Set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, that may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep who have no shepherd. Now verse 28, and he goes on and on like that. So, same reputation. It lets you know that God is responsible for the welfare of man. You can put it that way. He is responsible for man's existence, man's life. Hallelujah. So can we say that without God, something substantial will be lacking in man? Is this something substantial or everything substantial? Hallelujah. Without God, everything that man needs to survive is not present. Is lacking. Just follow. I know some people are just going, Job, Psalm, Proverbs. Just follow. Hallelujah. It will become clear now. I understand. I know your pain. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 6. Back now. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man. And we said it means abide in, right? Abide with man or abide in man forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So, now the next question we will now ask is, why is this spirit not going to dwell in man? Right? Now the antecedent text tells you, or pardon me, succeeding now, that's verse 5. Down till verse 6. It says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Verse 11 now. It says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Now, remember Genesis chapter 3. Man's sin, right? So, after man's sin. Now, what exactly was Adam's sin? What exactly was Adam's sin? Now, if you've come to Soteria for a while, we've explained this. I think we did so very well 2017. We did another one 2018 again, but it's not grievous. Now, in the Garden of Eden, okay, we have two trees. We have the tree of life and tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And obviously, what God was telling man there, like we've explained severally and time without number, just get 2017, 2018 messages. You know, God was letting man know that life is present in me, right? So man was supposed to, or man was created with a free will, a choice to choose between the tree of life, which is finding life in God himself, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is now trying to walk to get the life that God provides. Do you get that? So, obviously, you know what happened. The devil came, tempted man, told man that, okay, you can get life without God. So man believed that, and sin came into the world. Do you remember that? Now, having done all of that, that trend, or that lie of the serpent that men can have life apart from God continued down the ages. Do you understand? So man now started believing the lie of the serpent in different forms and different shapes. Some call it commerce, some call it medicine, some call it science, that man is self-sufficient. Do you get that? That man can find life without God. So when God says that my spirit shall no longer dwell in man. Now spirit there is not referring to the Holy Ghost though. Amen. It's referring to that life in man. Do you understand? So man has been created and there is life in man. So God is saying that that life will not continue. Do you understand? Do you understand? That life would not continue. Hallelujah. Amen. Because by rejecting God, man rejected God's life. Exactly. So by rejecting God, he rejected God's life. Hallelujah. Amen. So now, does this mean that God is cursing man? Yeah. I told you what to do. You refuse to answer me, I'll be okay. I'll show you paper. I'll take away my life. Is that what God was doing? Is that what God was doing? You know, God was angry with man and he just took away his life to show him paper. No. God has said, you will find life in me. Man has said, I don't want you. So obviously, in his activities apart from God, he will discover death. Exactly. Is that understood? God has ordained that man is created to find life in him. If man decides to find life in himself, what will happen? He forfeits what? The life that is in God. Is that clear? So, having done that, he now starts finding or discovering death. So death is actually a consequence of man's refusal, not God. Do you get that? Death is a consequence of man's refusal, not God. Hallelujah. So it's not that God was angry, oh. Amen. Amen. It's not that God was angry. The issue was life. Right from Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3. The issue with God and man was life. Not even sin. Just follow. It was life. Are we together? Are we together? Ecclesiastes chapter 8. For those who are looking for Ecclesiastes, it's just after Jude. So just look in front of Jude. You'll find it there. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Verse 8. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read. It says, no one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Do you see that? Now, no one here will refer to man, Abi. Right? Hey. Do we need to stand? Just respond. If you are following, you should know what I'm saying, then you respond. Do we get that? Okay. No one, Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 8. No one has power over his spirit to retain the spirit. And no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war. And wickedness would not deliver those who are given to it. Then verse 10. It says, then I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of holiness. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God and who fear before him. Pardon me. Now, who is the wicked in verse 10 from what we've seen in verse 8? Remember reading in context now. Who will be the wicked in verse 10 from verse 8? The person in verse 8, what is he trying to do? Are we not looking at it together? The person in verse 8, what is he trying to do? He's trying to retain his spirit, have you? Now he's trying to get life by his own self. Right? Trying to get life apart from God. So he's now called the wicked. Because he is trying to get life of his own effort. And that's impossible. Do you see that? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6. It says, remember your creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it is, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Now, spirit here refers to Holy Spirit. Spirit or life? Okay. So we can say that the life will return to God who gave it, right? Now, this does not mean that anybody who dies automatically goes to heaven, because the life is returning to the God who gave it. It's a Jewish way of speaking. The Jews saw what was called spirit, breath, the breath of God, as that life that was imparted into man to give him life. So when a man dies, they assume that the life went back. Clear? Not that a spirit came out of the man and went back to God. Just follow, please. Did you get that? Not that a spirit came out of the man and, you know, went back to God. Amen? Now, Genesis chapter 6 verse 3 lets you know why it says, because he is flesh, right? Isaiah chapter 40. Now, who is flesh? Or what is flesh? Amen? What would flesh be? Isaiah chapter 40 verse 6. Are we there? It says, the voice said, cry out, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen? So, this is very obvious. It says, as the grass fades, so man fades. It says, the people are grass. Do you see that? Are we together? Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10. Verse 4. Are we there? Job chapter 10 verse 4. It says, do you have eyes of flesh, or do you see as man sees? Now Job is talking to God. It says, are your days like the days of a mortal man? Are your years like the days of a mighty man? Do you see that? Now the word mortal here, mortal man, is the same word Enosh. Okay? So, Job uses a rhetorical question here, pointing to the fact that unlike man, God is everlasting. Come on, let me see your hand if you saw that. Can I see your hand if you saw that? Second Chronicles, verse 32. Chapter 32, pardon me, verse 7. Second Chronicles chapter 32 verse 7. Are we there? It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. Verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Ezekiah, king of Judah. So we see man, right, in comparison with God. Do you see that? Man is called arm of flesh, right? Okay. Jeremiah chapter 17 again. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Hallelujah. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Do you see that? And makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Verse 6, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes. Strong. But shall inhabit the parched places, in the wilderness, in a salt land, which is not inhabited. Now in verse 5, he says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Now the word cursed there is the word arar. A-R-A-R. Arar. It's the same word that was used in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. God says to Adam, he says, cursed is the ground for your sake. It's the same word there. Now, look at verse 5. How is this man being cursed? Is he being cursed by God, or is he doing something that brings a curse upon him? Some people wait for the longest option to choose. Amen. Is God cursing him, or he's doing something to be cursed? He's doing something, right? He says he's trusting in man, and he makes flesh his strength. Hallelujah. So he brings the curse upon himself by trusting in himself. Do you see that? Now see verse 6. He now uses, now I love the Hebrews because they are very figurative and they use very nice metaphors. Jeremiah now used an imagery to explain what he said in verse 5. Okay? He uses it to drive home his point. Now, he compares such a man to a shrub in the desert. Okay? He says, for it shall be like a shrub. Now, like a shrub is just one word in the Hebrew. Arora. A-R-O-E-R. Arora, A-R-O-E-R. That's the word there. That it just refers to a bush. Amen? Or it refers to a bush that is dead. From another word, arar, which refers to completely stripped. So referring to something that is stripped of, you know, strength, energy, a tiny, you know, little shrub, just laid bare, have you seen a plant that is not getting enough sunlight and enough water? Hallelujah. So, like a plant that is not getting enough. I feel like I'm not coming to you guys enough, and I feel bad about that. Sorry. Have you seen a malnourished plant before? Not a malnourished human being, no. Amen. A malnourished plant. Have you seen a malnourished human being before? Somebody that is not having enough food to eat. Now, a plant that is not getting enough sunlight, enough water. So he uses an imagery. He says a man that trusts in himself is likened to such a plant. Do you get that? Figure of speech, right? Figurative, right? Okay, so he uses that here. And those of us who did biology, I did biology, so I can boast. Now, do you know what, you should know. Do you know what is called, adaptive features? I don't know if you did biology. Let me call your lecturer. Nah. Tell them to collect your certificates and everything that they give you. Hey, go A in biology. Who got A in biology here? Hallelujah. Now, do you know what adaptive features are? That's when an organism has some features that helps it cope under extreme situations. For example, these cactus plants that is found in the desert, it has spines. It doesn't have like a normal plant. It doesn't have leaves. Because normal plants that have leaves, when the sun comes up, the water on the leaves evaporates. So because it's in a desert where there's no water, all these leaves are shrunk up so that when the sun comes, there's no evaporation of water. It's able to conserve as much water as possible. See, I know biology now. Amen. Hallelujah. So he uses that word here. Now these organisms, they keep adapting till they can adapt no more and they finally die. Do you understand? So they are in a condition that is not favorable, and because of that, death is inevitable. Do you understand? So don't you understand what Jeremiah is doing here? He's describing man, and then he uses that way that a plant would struggle to keep surviving till it finally dies. And he says that's a man that has his trust in his flesh rather than in God. Do you see that? So he will keep trying to retain his spirit till he finally dies. What that trying is today what they call science. Amen. It's what they call medicine. that tells you that, okay, you know, you can, no, human beings can live forever now. That, in fact, there's even one now, I think Creo now, they say they will freeze your body, so you won't die. They will just freeze you, so your organs won't function very well. Then they will not raise you up later again in life. Maybe like 100 years later, they will not raise you up again. You will not be new like that. You will not age, you know, nothing will happen to you and all of them. Everything, adapting. What is the end? Death. Hallelujah. Amen. Man will keep doing that till he finds death in his activities. Because without God, without God, man was not ordained to find life. Hallelujah. Man will find life where? Man will find life where? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now, it says, he shall not see good when it comes, and then it goes on like that. Now, in now, see verse 7. It now talks about the man whose trust is in God. It says, blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord. Hallelujah. And whose hope is the Lord. For it shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Hallelujah. Amen. Endless supply. Hallelujah. Praise God. Like God intended, right? Can we say like God intended? Okay. Which spreads out his roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. Hallelujah. Praise God. But his leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. Now, I hope you are not saying literal here. I hope everything you are saying here, you know that it's figurative, right? You know that it's spiritual. If you say, oh, I'm a man that trusts in that. I will be like a river, like a tree planted by the riverside. Oh, I will have green leaves. I will be fat. I will have the oil. No! Spiritual realities. Amen? Are we together? So, man was not made to try to get life by his own activities. Do you see that? Man at his very best is described as a plant that is dying. Do you see that? God made man in such a way that man would depend on God for life. Hallelujah. Let's follow. Amen. Praise God. So, God made man to rest on his own works, not man's works. God never made man to rest on his own works. Hallelujah. Praise God. God made man that man would rest on what he would do for man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. Glory, glory, glory. Are we here? Are we learning so far? Can I see your hand if you're learning so far? Are you sure? Or you just want me to be happy? It does not work on me. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Are we there? He says, but he answered and said, now, you know this story, Jesus was tempted in the desert, or is he wilderness? No, yeah, the same thing. So he was tempted, and the devil told him, if you are the son of God, turn this stone to bread. Now, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, okay, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Is there, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, in the Greek, this is the way it sounds. You know, it was rearranged in English. In the Greek, it sounds like this. Not by bread alone shall live the man. Are you not grateful for translators? It says, not by bread alone shall live the man. That's the way it sounds in the Greek. So write that down. It will be useful now. Not by bread alone shall live the man. That's the way it sounds in the Greek. Pardon me. Did you get that? Now, shall live is just one word in the Greek. It's the word zao. Z-A-O. Zao. In the Greek. It's a word that means to come alive. To no longer be dead. To come alive. To no longer be dead. Now, obviously, this cannot be referring to a physical principle. Right? Because, you know, physically, man needs bread to survive. Amen. Do you know that? Amen. Do you know that man actually needs food to survive naturally? Genesis chapter 1. You are word men, Abi. You need to see it. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. Hallelujah. Are we there? He says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Verse 29. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. So God gave man food. Amen? Amen. Genesis 9. Genesis chapter 9, verse 3. Hallelujah. It says, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. So he gave man food, right? Hey, right? Psalm 104. Hallelujah. Some people are wondering, hey, just follow. Psalm 104 verse 14. Are we there? It says, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food for the earth. Verse 15, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine. Hallelujah. And bread which strengthens man's heart. So bread does what? How many of you have fasted before 3 days? And, no, dance. Emoji, don't lift your hand. Don't embarrass. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you have ever fasted for 3 days and on the second day you stop understanding what was going on. I'll describe to you how it feels like. Your hand starts getting twitchy. You start feeling like electricity is moving through your hand. Then you just know that things are not making sense to you. Say, hey, how are you? Yeah, that's boy, you're hearing something else. Or you just start seeing double. Or what's the worst one now? When, you know, somebody just, and you seem to get easily irritable. You know, when somebody talks, you just get angry at the person, right? Because food no day. Amen. It's not spiritual. Amen. It's not that when somebody is in the things of the spirit, the Holy Ghost in his body will be making him to be doing. No, it's food. Low blood sugar. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So food. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3. Hallelujah. It says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received. Oh, hallelujah. With thanksgiving. By those who believe and know the truth. So God made food for what? To eat. Amen. Verse 5 says, as long as you sanctify it with word and prayer, it's fine. Amen. Amen. Those of you who get scared when they keep chicken on the road for something to come and eat, and you feel that you should not eat it, because if you eat it, something will happen to you. Amen. Let me run away from that quickly. Now, man physically needs food to survive. Amen. That's why I went to all of these routes to let you know that physically he needs food to survive. Are we together? Did you get that? So the text now uses alone to qualify what he said. Do you see that? So you know, it'd be funny for you to take that verse and say, oh, I'm a man of the spirit. I don't need food to survive. Oh, I have the spirit of God in me. I don't need food. Oh, I have the spirit. Man does not live by bread. I have the word. I have the word. Bread. Oh, you need the word. You need the word. Oh, God, eat. Amen. Hallelujah. Alone is there. Right? So when he says man shall not live by bread, he uses alone to let you know that there is a qualifier there. So, for man to live spiritually, he would have to live by the word of God. Okay? Physically, he needs food, right? But spiritually, he needs God's word. Hallelujah. Amen? So, his sustenance is found in God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So far, what we've seen about man is that, okay, he's a spiritual reality and has, physical consequences. I can say that and just run away from that quickly. So man is physical, but he would need God to be alive spiritually. Do you get that? He would need God to be alive spiritually. Now, Psalm 42 verse 1. Psalm 42 verse 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are we together? Psalm 42, verse 1. This brings a song to mind. Should we sing it? Should we sing it? Yeah, let's do. Let's try. 1, 2, go. Imagine if somebody just starts singing a different song that we've never heard before. As the day passes for. So, you know, it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, when it says living God in the Hebrew, it sounds something like this. The God that gives life. Now, it's not just saying that God is alive. It now sounds like he is the one that bestows life on man. Okay? Did you get that? Hey, men and brethren, did you get that? So, God is described as a fountain of life-giving water. Hallelujah. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you what? Giving you what? So what does God have to give man? Now, obviously, living water is figurative. I'm sure you know that. Or have you ever seen water that is alive before? Man, you imagine you take a cup of water and the cup says, yay, 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 your teeth is scratching me. Or, your teeth is biting me, Jerry. Stop drinking me. That's never happened before. So obviously figurative. Now, John chapter 7, verse 37. John chapter 7. Verse 37. It says, on that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, he says, he that is thirsty, come to me. Right? Now, when you come to him, whose belly does the water flow from? If he says, come to me and drink, who is doing the supply of the water? Him, right? So obviously, when he says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, it's not our belly, it's his belly, right? Or it's his heart. That is, when you come to meet Jesus, in him is the spirit that he gives to man. Do you get that? So, in Christ Jesus is the spirit that comes to man. Man doesn't come to Christ Jesus and then water now starts coming out of man's belly. Water is just coming out of his belly, sha. He's just pumping water. No. Jesus Christ is the person that gives man the spirit. So, it's out of his belly. Did you get that? Did you get that? Okay. So, he gives living water as his spirit. Do you see that now? Amen and brethren. Do you see that? Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, hallelujah, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God. The word that man was created to live by, right? Do you remember Matthew 4? Okay. Which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass. Then quotes from, where is this now? Isaiah 40 verse 6. It says, all flesh is as grass, and as the glory of man as, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers, and it flowers, and its flowers falls away, but the word of God endures forever. Now, he says, now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So can we say that the word that man was created to live by is the gospel? Now, Maxine, can we say that? That the word that, you know, Jesus Christ says, man shall not live by bread alone, right? But by every word that proceeds out of man. Can we say that every word, okay, is the gospel? Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 16. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10 verse 16. It says, but they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Actually, what the Greek says here is the word of Christ. It doesn't use theos for God in the Greek. It uses Christos for God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the message of Christ. Do you see that? Faith for salvation. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, it says the word of God is living. And he lets you know that in previous chapters, in chapter 2, chapter 3, he lets you know that that word that he calls living is actually the gospel, which was preached to the Jewish fathers in the wilderness that they refused to believe. Do you get that? Now, he calls the word living because the word is about a person. Okay? He calls the word living because it's about a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Do you see that? By what? A new and living way. Or in the Greek, a way that leads to life. Hallelujah. Which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, a Nigerian's mind is going several places. Sela. So, the new and living way is accessed by faith in Christ, right? Sorry, are you following what I'm saying so far? Are you sure? So the new and living way is accessed via faith in Christ. You get that? Are you sure? Are you sure? Okay, let's move on. First Peter. First Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It says, coming to him as to a living stone. Amen. Now obviously, stone is figurative, right? Right? I hope you know that. Okay. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Now verse 5, it says, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So he calls Jesus what? Just question and reply. That's all it is. It's not to catch you or to say you are wrong or to say you didn't get what I was trying to say. I'm just asking so I can know if you're following. Okay? He calls Jesus what? Living stone. Okay. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Why are some people always scared to reply answers when someone is preaching? Some people think that probably I want to catch them in their error. No. When I want to catch you, you will know. There are times I try to catch people. You know when I want to. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 49. Are we there? He says, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. Agege bread. Huh? Sunshine bread. Remember, exegesis, right? So you will let him tell you what he meant by saying that, right? Now, it says in verse 49, it says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. Hey. Do you understand now? It now makes sense. And are dead. Hey. So obviously, he's not talking about physical bread. Because he talks about bread that people ate and died. Do you see that? So imagine he took the bread of life. Oh, Jesus is the bread of life. It's the bread of our brethren. It's the bread of life. You take a bread and you say, this is the body of Christ. Then you eat it. I say, I will never die again. I will never die again. Are you right or you're wrong? Hallelujah. It lets you know, right? In verse 49. Now verse 50. It now lets you know where this bread is from. He says, this is the bread which comes down from heaven. Is that clear now? That one may eat of it and not die. Hallelujah. He says, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. So bread is now qualified. Right? Exegesis, do you remember? Yeah. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Now when he says my flesh, his flesh refers to him. Do you understand? His life. Do you understand? If I say I give you my flesh, that's death. Do you understand? So he says that bread is his death for man. Clear? Okay. So the bread I shall give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Is that clear now? Then, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So you see, the Nigerians are not alone. Verse 53, Selah. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no flesh in you. Hallelujah. This is some creepy stuff. Let's run away from that quickly. Verse 54. Whoever drink, now, if, imagine if you are taking 53 literally. Imagine if you didn't read 54. You see the importance of contextual reading. It doesn't say, oh, the bread, I just want the flesh of Jesus. All I want is the flesh of Jesus. All I want is the blood of Jesus. Where's the blood of Jesus? You know, so you go on Jerusalem to go for, aunt. You go to Calvary and you look for the stains of Jesus' blood at Golgotha. There's even one time they said they found Jesus' blood, the real blood at Golgotha. Yes. Yes. Remember? They said they found it that it dripped. Now, it's very beautiful illustration they told us. They said that, some years before Jesus Christ died, they took the Ark of the Covenant and they buried it under Golgotha. Okay? So, follow this rema. So they kept the Ark of the Covenant under Golgotha. So when Jesus Christ was bleeding, after they tricked the man, when he bled, the thing and drip from the cross. Then he entered into the rock and it was dripping on the mercy seats. Tum, 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 tum. Understand? So that is the shedding of blood for our sins. I'm not joking. Somebody literally said that, and then I said, okay, that they even took the blood sample, they looked at it what they call that place now that they look for blood, where they test, but clinic, yes, you know, they look for it, and they found that, you know, a normal blood cell has 46 chromosomes, 23 from the father, 23 from the mother, but this one only had 23. So, you know, Jesus's blood, am I preaching good? So, you know, the blood Jesus Christ got was from God alone. His mother's 23 was not supplied. So he only had 23 chromosomes. Let me run away from this fast. Fast. Back to the word. Hallelujah. You know, all of that is rubbish. You know now, Abby. Okay. Verse 55. Verse 54, pardon me. He says, whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood has eternal life. Question. When you believed in Jesus, did you eat anything? Did you drink anything? Obviously, this is figurative now. Haba! It's not even Holy Communion. Figurative! Hallelujah! Amen! Now, and drink my blood as eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Which bread can you eat that will do this to you? Do you see that? Now, 55, he says, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Okay? As the living Father sends me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So bread, literal or figurative? Okay. Now, it's called the bread of life. Now, it's not a coincidence, because remember, man was created to live by bread physically. Do you remember? Now, it now lets you know that the way life will come to a man spiritually is through him. So Jesus Christ is God's bread. We can say it like that. He is God's bread. Hallelujah. So the way a man would need bread to live physically, a man would need Jesus to live spiritually. Do you understand that? Is that clear? Amen. First chapter. Pray for me. My mind is running faster than my head. 1 John chapter 5. My mouth is funny. Pray for me. 1 John chapter 5. I said my mouth is running faster than my head. 1 John chapter 5 verse 11. Are we there? Hallelujah. Are we learning so far? 1 John chapter 5 verse 11. It says, and this is the testimony. Hallelujah. That God has given us eternal life. And this life is where? The life is where? In his son. He who has the life. Pray for me. He who has the son has what? Life. Who has the son here? What do you have? Hallelujah. He who does not have the son does not have life. That's clear. Right? Because God has ordained that life be found where? In him. Do you see that now? Verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe. Is there anyone like that here? Is there anyone like that here? Are there believers here? Are there believers here? Those who have believed in the name of the Son of God, are they here? Now see what he says to you. He says that you may know, hallelujah, that you have eternal life. So you believe in the gospel, you believe in the name of the Son of God. Now his name is what he did in his death, his burial, his resurrection, his reputation in redemption. You believe in that. What happens to you? You receive eternal life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now see what he says. Now let me say something, that the latter part of this verse is not original. If you have my kind of Bible, it lets you know that, and you might continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, it's not present in the original text. So if you want, you can just underline it under your Bible and write, not present. Amen? It was added by the translators. It's not present there. Because it can't tell you that you've believed, and by believing you have eternal life, and tell you that continue to believe. Do you get? So, it's not there. So you can, if you are very, very rash, you can cancel it out of your Bible. You are removing from God's word. But don't say it was me that told you, Sha. For they add to our plagues, two of us. Sailor. Oh, you didn't get it. Who led Pauline prayers? Did you do what I said? You not pray that you get my, the eyes of Elijah, you must my jokes. Not just the word though, you must understand my jokes. Amen. Because in my jokes, I'm teaching God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. That was a joke. Hallelujah. So life is found in Jesus Christ and him alone. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. It says, who has called us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Verse 10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So he brought what? Life. Hallelujah. And immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. So obviously, what did Adam reject? We said Adam rejected life, right, in the beginning. We said there was a tree of life and there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Adam had a choice, right? Do you remember that? To choose between either of them. So, having seen all of this so far, what would Adam have rejected? The gospel, right? The gospel that talks about who? Jesus Christ. Amen? So, unbelief has been since Genesis. We know that now. Amen? Unbelief has been since Genesis. Don't worry, we'll look at all of this and explain Adam's sin. Maybe tomorrow. But, unbelief was since Genesis. Hallelujah. God wanted man to find life in him. In him is where? In Christ. But Adam chose to find life by his own strength. A man was not created to function that way. You cannot find life in yourself as a man. You are created to find life where? In God. Did you get that? Did you get that? Are you following so far? Hallelujah. Amen. John chapter 5. Many today are still following that lie of the serpent in Genesis that told man that he can find life by himself. John chapter 5. He can't. You can't find life by yourself. It says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have what? Life. So life is found where? Life is found where? In Jesus. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. Do you see that again? And the life was what? The light of men, who has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Do you see that? Hey, did I lose you? So in Christ is what? Life for men. Or life, which is that light of men. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, everything after the comma is not present in verse 1. So, if you are like me, but I know I'm not rash. If you are rash, you can cancel it. But if you are not that rash, if you are still scared, you see? The word of God. You can leave it. But who did not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit is not there. In the original Greek. It was added by the translators. How many of you have a Bible that tells you that? Is that there in your Bible? Well, who is using KJV and NKJV? Here. Using either the KJV or the NKJV. He told you that now. Look at it. There's a footnote there that told you that. That the remaining part of this text was not present. It was added by the translators. So it's not there. So if you remove it, you will not go to hell. Selah. Verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, hallelujah, from the law of sin and death. Now, it lets you know that in Christ Jesus is the law of the spirit of life. Do you see that? So this law of the spirit of life is found where? In Christ. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is where? In Christ Jesus. So the promise of life is where? In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we've seen so far that man is Enosh. Or, let me not make a generalizing statement. David called man Enosh. For those of you who are just coming, I didn't say Enosh. Amen. Why did your face remain like that when I cracked that joke? Oh, it's not decent enough for the house. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's not decent for the household of faith. I'm sorry about that. The way some people's face does squeeze immediately I said that. Sorry. I'm sorry. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. It says, man is Enosh. E-N-O-S-H. Okay. Hebrew word. Saying this everything makes me laugh. A Hebrew word that means frail, right? Sickly. And we've seen that he's sick. Why? Because of sin. Hallelujah. He is sick because of sin. And we've seen that God's solution to that sickness is found in Christ, right? God would make or provide for man life. And that life that God provides is found where? In his son, Christ Jesus, who is God that became a man in order to heal man of that sickness of sin. Is that clear so far? Are you sure? Are you sure? So, now, although man is dying, he does not know. That's the irony of it. He doesn't know. Okay? He might not know, but that is his reality. A man that is not in Christ or has not found life in Christ, he is dying. Amen? He might adapt, you know, to survive right now, but he is dying. Because he is trying to find life apart from God's provision. Do you see that? John chapter 15. Let's see something there quickly. John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. Are we there? It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Hallelujah. For without me you can do nothing. Is this not clear? Ah. Without me you can do what? You can do a few things. What translation are you using? You can do a few things. Look at it. Look at verse 5 very well. Without me you can do, you cannot do so much, but you can try. I'm using the original Greek. I caught you there, right? You can do nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Do you remember Jeremiah's analogy? And they gather them and throw them in the fire and they are burned. This is the final consequence of anyone who is not found in Christ. No, it makes sense. You know it makes sense. If this is a tree, let's say I'm a tree. And why did you smile? Let's say I'm a tree and this is a branch of me. Now, scientists in the house, you might need to help me. I think there's something called sap. Have you? That goes, cell sap, that goes, is it cytoplasm or what do they call it now? That gives life. I did biology now. What do you mean? Yeah. So, you know, I'm just joking. But they go and say, I'm bragging again. My boast is in the Lord. Amen. Now, there's cell sap moving in the body. And this is a tree. And this is a branch. Now, the branch is in the tree. So whatever flows in the vine gets to that particular branch and gets it to grow. Have you? It gives it life. Right? Scientists help me now. No. Oh yeah, I admit my, that I don't know anything. So yeah, help us out. Right? Okay. Now, imagine cutting off the branch. Do you know that if you cut off the branch, the plants won't die immediately? Do you know that? Do you know that? Okay, let me ask you a question. Have you cut a branch of a tree before? Maybe you're just going to cut it. You know, imagine immediately you cut it, the thing just be like, and turn brown. And just say, oh, okay, this is life. It's true. It has been cut. But it doesn't appear that way. Sometimes it takes 3 days, 4 days, in fact, 1 week. There are some, like cactus. Cactus will stay 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, it will be green. But the truth is, it has been removed from the cell sap. It is dying. That is man without Christ. Do you understand? It might not look like it though. It might seem, man is making so much progress. You know, iPhone 1, iPhone 2, iPhone 3, iPhone 4, iPhone 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You know, man is just doing so much. I mean, look at the way we're able to, you know, malaria was a horrible disease. Killing people, millions. Malaria that now, when you have it, you just gotta take one thing at one woman's shop at the back of your, killing people. Amen. A man found a solution to that. Look at how fast Nigeria cleared Ebola. The government has not done anything that fast before in Nigeria. Delete that, please. It's true. Look at how fast, it came to Nigeria and immediately, in how many weeks was it now? It was a week. Hey! Oh! Something that kills people. Amen? And in just 1 week, they were able to catch it. So you can be tempted to think that man, Abba. You can be tempted to think that man is not dying if you see all of that. Right? Just like the way you can be tempted to think that flower is still alive because it hasn't turned brown yet. It's a lie. It's dying. Do you understand? That's what Jesus Christ is saying here, that see, without being in me, the end result is death and destruction. Hallelujah. So life is found where? In Christ. Okay? So can we say that the gospel does not only reveal God to man, it also reveals man to man. It lets man know his condition. Right? It lets man know his spiritual state without God. Did you get that, sir? We can say the gospel tells man who he is. It reveals what man is to man without Jesus. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Job chapter 14. Are you praying for me? Okay. Job chapter 14, verse 1. Hallelujah. Let's just look around a few things. And I said few is relative. We've been looking at a few things since Sunday. A few things. Job chapter 14 verse 1. DBC people, you understand what I mean now? Man who is born of woman is of a few days. Do you see that? And full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. Do you see that? Describing the state of a man without God. Do you see that? Verse 7 now of that same chapter. Job 14 verse 7. It now says, for there is hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Verse 8. Though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Verse 10. But man dies. Straightforward. And is laid away. Straightforward. No beating around the bush. Indeed, he breathes, how do you pronounce it now? He breathes his last, right? And where is he? As water disappears from the sea, and a river becomes parched and dry up, so man lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, they will not awake, nor be roused from their sleep. Do you see that? Man without God. Describing the state of man without God. Job chapter 34. Do you observe that he keeps using, or the writers of the Bible keep using analogy of plants or trees? Right? Job chapter 34, verse 14. Hallelujah. Verse 14, he says, if he should set his head on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit, now I've explained this already, right? And his breath. Do you remember? All flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. Do you understand what verse 14 is saying? Is it the Holy Ghost is gathering? Okay. Let me run away from that quickly. So, God can provide for man physically. Okay? Look at the earth. God has provided for man physically. Do you know that the resources needed to make a plane were available in the time of Paul? Do you know they were on the earth since the time of Paul? Do you know that? The fact that man discovered this does not mean it has not been there before. It has always been there. The laws of aerodynamics didn't start in 21st century or 19th century. It has always been since the time of Paul. But do you know it was only discovered now? So, there are things on the earth that God has put for man to enjoy. I mean physically now. That's why you can see a man who says there is no God and is the richest man on earth. Because God has provided things for man to enjoy physically. Do you understand? There are enough resources on the earth to, how many billions are we now on the earth? I think 7 billion. Is it 7 or 8 now? 7. Now, do you know there are enough resources on the earth, I mean food and money, to last every single one of us? Do you know that? Why are you smiling? Do you know that's true? But you know, obviously, the resources are not evenly distributed. Selah. Yeah. Amen. So, God has provided things on the earth for man to enjoy physically. But those things that he has provided for man physically, they don't affect his spirit too. Do you understand? Man still needs the bread of life, which is Christ Jesus. If not, he's expiring. Okay? He will die. Say death. Destruction. He will die. Hallelujah. Say die. Hey, with all the sight, all the, he will die. With the car, it's not a cause. He will die. Amen. With the car, with the you know, bio-wafer. There's even one now that they said they are making nanotechnology that you will just swallow something and it will heal you. They don't need to do surgery. It will die. Amen. Do you know what I'm saying? Without the, God did not make you to look for life. You can only try, you know, adapt. You will die. Amen. Without Jesus. Life. I hope that will not become an hermeneutic for this meeting. Die. No. Or Enosh. I hope nobody will listen and say, you are acting like Enosh. If I hear that from everybody, we'll chase you out. Fast. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 39. Hallelujah. Psalm 39. Hallelujah. Psalm 39 verse 11. It says, when with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. Very clear, right? Now, obviously, you know that in the Old Testament, God's nature was not very understood, was not well understood. So when he says you rebuke man for iniquity, is it God that is doing this or sin? Who rebukes man with death? Sin. Remember Romans chapter 5 verse 12, right? Romans chapter 6 verse 23. The wages of sin is death. By one man sin entered in the world and death passed upon all men for all our sins. Remember that? So it is sin that causes death in man. Okay? Now, God's role when there is sin is to give life. Okay? So when man has sinned and there is death, what God does is to give life. His role is to give life. Did you get that? Psalm 49 verse 1. This is a long read. Very, 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 very long read. Okay. Let's read. We are reading 20 verses now. Are we ready? Are we ready? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Hear these old peoples. Give ear all the inhabitants of the world. Both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. Verse 4, I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark saying in the harp. What should I say in the day of evil? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom from. Do you see that? Verse 8, for the redemption of their souls is costly. Do you see that? And it shall cease forever. Do you see that? That, verse 9, that it should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. Is that not clear? Verse 10, for he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless one perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thoughts is like the houses that will, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. Do you see that? He is like what? The beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish. Of the perspective of those who approve their saying, Selah. Verse 14. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for it shall receive me. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid. When one becomes rich, when the glory of his house has increased, for when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. See that? His glory shall not descend after him. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. A man who is in honor, yet does not understand, is like the beast that perish. So what does he not understand? From what we've seen so far. Obviously, that his riches cannot redeem another soul. Do you see that? So, this is a clear picture of man without God. This is man. Hallelujah. Psalm 60, verse 11. Are we learning so far? Can I see your hands if you are learning so far? Just wave your hands. Wave your hands. Wave your hands. Let me see your hand. Okay. Verse 11. Are we there? It says, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Straightforward. Amen. The word help in the Hebrew is the word teshua. Teshua, T-E-S-H-U-A-H. Teshua. It actually refers to salvation or deliverance. Okay? So can we read it like this? The deliverance of man or the salvation of man is useless. Right? So man trying to save himself is what? Is what? Useless. Psalm 73. Verse 1. Another long read. We have 28 verses to read now. Are we ready? Psalm 73. Please, I want everyone to read loud and clear, audibly. Are we there? It says, truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet has almost, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. but they are not troubled as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance, and they have more than I could wish for. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongues walk throughout the earth. Therefore, his people... And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued, and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak to us, behold, I would have been untrue to the children of your the generation of your children. When I taught how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Follow. Surely, you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought down to dissolution, as in a moment, they are utterly consumed by terrors. As a dream, when one awakes, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus, my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by your right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is my strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for allotry. But it is good for me to dwell to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I might declare all your works. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 27. Those who are far from you shall perish. It says, you have destroyed all those who desert you for allotry. Remember, his nature was not understood in the Old Testament clearly, obviously. So, is he the one destroying? Simple, very simple question. This is life. You go away from life. What happens to you? You die. Does life need to come and kill you? Do you understand? So, we feel that when man sins, God needs to come and kill man. No. That very action is death to him. Do you understand? His very refusal of the provision of God is death to him. God doesn't kill. Hallelujah. He does not destroy. Hallelujah. Are you sad? Oh, you wanted God to kill your enemy for you, have you? The woman in your village that was disturbing you. You wanted God to strike her with one something and destroy her shop. The small shop that she's managing. God should destroy it, you know. Kill her inside. Burn the goods inside. Destroy the foundation of the shop. Destroy the ground of the shop. If I'd make the ground to keep burning forever and ever, you know, eternal fire. So keep burning, 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 so that nobody can build on it again. It doesn't destroy. Hallelujah. Amen. So is that clear? They perish because they are far from life. Okay? Life is found where? Hey, did I lose you? Life is found where? In Christ or from God, Abi? So by leaving God, what does man find in his activities? Death. Is that clear? Psalm 84. Psalm 84 verse 4. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Psalm 84, verse 4. It says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. So it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Psalm 108, verse 12. Psalm 108, verse 12. Are we there? Psalm 108 verse 12. It says, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. We saw something earlier, similar to this, right? The deliverance of man is useless. Amen? Psalm 116. Psalm 116 verse 3. It says, the pangs of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. So only God can deliver. Do you see that? Psalm 118 verse 8. Psalm 118 verse 8. He says, it is better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Do you see that? Are we together? He says, it is better to put confidence in the Lord than to trust in man. Psalm 144 verse 3. Psalm 144 verse 3. He says, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? They are all asking. They kept asking. Or the son of man that you are mindful of him. Verse 4. Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. You know what a breath is? Do you know what a breath is? Okay. Psalm 146 verse 3. Psalm 146 verse 3. It says, do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Do you see that? Hey, are we together? In whom there is no what? No help. Verse 4. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Now, his spirit is there, Holy Spirit, or life. Okay. First Samuel. First Samuel, verse 2. Verse 9. Chapter 2 verse 9. Pardon me. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 9. Hallelujah. Are we there? It says, he will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength, what? No man shall prevail. Hallelujah. For by strength, no man shall prevail. So far we've seen something with man. That man was made in such a fashion that he is not supposed to see himself as self-sufficient. Okay? Man is not supposed to look at himself. And when he looks at himself as, I am able to, you know, sustain myself apart from God. Man was made in such a manner, he was, you know, created in such a way that he would need God for his salvation. Hallelujah. He would need God for his deliverance. He would need God for his perseverance. It is that provision that God makes for man that, you know, helps him remain in life. Are we together? And you know, this is actually what Adam rejected. This is what Adam rejected. He believed the lie of the serpent that told him that in your own fleshly efforts, in your own conduct, in your own skills, in your own smarts, you know, you can get life by yourself. And that trend continued throughout Adam's generation. That's why we see Baal, right? Babylon. Do you remember that? Where people said that let's make a tower that will reach heaven. Do you understand? Man started reasoning in a sort of way that was different from the way God originally, you know, planned or originally said that man should live in. But do you know that although this is the case with man, he didn't change God. Hallelujah. He didn't change God. God kept that his plan from the beginning of the world, that he would give man life, and that man would find life in himself, or in God, that is himself. That plan continued throughout the scriptures. Throughout the scriptures, it continued, and eventually, it was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, are we still looking for life today? Everything that we just looked at in the Psalms and Proverbs and all of that, Ecclesiastes and all of that, talking about man in his sin, does that apply to someone who has believed in the gospel? Because in Christ we have found life. Hallelujah. The very life that Adam forfeited by his disobedience, the very life that Adam forfeited by his unbelief in the message that was presented to him by God, that same life we have found in Christ. Hallelujah.